As the 2025-26 Premier League season kicks off, the spotlight is on a massive opening weekend clash, Manchester United versus Arsenal at Old Trafford. The highly anticipated match brings together two teams that have made a statement in the transfer market. We are going to unpack all that and more in this week's episode of Hit the Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. As always, I'm your host, Deshawn, and joining me in studio today are Premier League analysts Mark Stradom and Nigel Nyker. Gents, welcome.
Good morning, gents. Exciting topic for the morning. Good to be here.
Yeah, great to be here, gents. Premier League is back, and what a fixture to kick it off with.
Manchester United have dominated the transfer headlines in recent weeks, splashing close to £200 million. Their new signings include Brazilian striker Matias Cunha from Wolves, winger Brian Mbeumo from Brentford, and Slovenian starlet Benjamin Sesko from RB Leipzig. Mark, which of those three players has excited you the most?
All of them, actually, but the one personally that I like the most is Brian Mbeumo. I think he's an exciting player. I think he's going to offer United different dimension to the attack. On the ball, he's good. He has off the ball work. I think he's a complete winger and very underrated from my point of view, and it's going to be exciting times for United, especially with that attacking force that you just mentioned, coupled with Bruno Fernandes. I think it's going to be a different look United and exciting times for United fans as well.
Yeah. How would you summarise this transfer window for Man United? Because I can't say it looks a bit different than the previous ones.
I would say it's about time. It's about time they buy the type of players that you deem quality, with the quality that comes with the United jersey. So over the past seasons, not knocking the players that are there or have made their way there. But this time around, you can see the intent, the direction they're going. So with those type of players that has come in, you can see that they're going to compete and are looking to brush off the unfortunate years they've had, and especially from last season. So going into the new season with this type of player and intent, I think it's going to be a good season for them.
Yeah. Nigel, do you think this trio of signings can actually bring back the glory days to Old Trafford?
Yeah, no doubt. There's a lot of quality in those three that they've managed to get. Big money spending as well. Kind of reminds me of the Fergie days where his attack would blow you off the park before the game started. He had three or four players where, you know, on their day, they're gonna finish you. And I think with Bruno and these three, it really is scary days for the opposition, for United.
Yeah. You know, Mark actually highlighted Brian Mbeumo. Do you think he's going to be the focal point of that attack? Because I know there are some wingers that have come through the club in recent years and they just haven't quite worked out for them.
Yeah, I think Mbeumo is set up to explode. He probably did explode already last season, close to 20 Premier League goals. And I think now he's going to have to show that at United, and he'll have the players behind him, Cunha and Bruno, with the creativity to help him along the way.
Yeah. His numbers, are they going to increase, plateau, or decrease this season?
I think they'll increase, especially in a team with so much quality around them. United have just Premier League to look forward to, one game a week. I think definitely look to target more goals and assists this season.
Yeah. Arsenal have also been busy in the transfer window, strengthening their squad with several key additions. The biggest of the lot is Swedish striker Viktor Gyökeres from Sporting for a reported £63.5 million. Take it away for me, Mark.
Yeah, I think he's the missing piece to the puzzle. I think Arsenal have been crying for a natural centre-forward. They are a ball-playing team. They've been chopping and changing over the seasons. Last season, we used Mikel Merino as a striker who's a defensive midfielder. We've used Martinelli, you know, just trying to accommodate as the season goes on. But as you know, three times in a row we finished second. And I think with a natural strike, I think he gets Arsenal over the line because he is a goal scorer. He's proven it. It's just now how quick can he adapt to his new environment? How quick can he adapt to the pace of the Premier League? And how quick can he adapt to his players? Because he can hold the ball up. He's a goal scorer. He's quick on his feet. He has good technical skills. So I think he's a complete striker. And it's something that Arsenal have been missing for a while now. And I think everybody can agree that it's something that they desperately needed just to maybe compete with Liverpool and City for the league title. Is it going to happen? I hope. But let's wait and see.
Yeah. You know, with Mourinho playing as striker last season, it did kind of raise the eyebrow because you've had players like Edin Keita over there. You've had players like Gabby Jesus over there. I think even Kai Havertz, who's a midfielder for all intents and purposes, but he's played that striker's role for Arsenal. Now, do you think that's what Arteta is trying to introduce in the team? Because if you look at the Man City team where he was the assistant, they played with a midfielder as a striker. I think Bernardo Silva occupied the role for, but Kevin De Bruyne also occupied that role.
That type of football is not for everybody. That comes from a certain manager who's mastered that tactic, who's mastered that type of football. I think he is the pioneer of that. And not everybody can do it. Yes, it looks good. Yes, it's effective if you get it right, but you got to have the right players who buy into it and are at the right place at the right time for this to happen. And it worked somehow to a certain extent for Arsenal, but it's not sustainable. When you had injuries, Kai Havertz, Saka, Jesus, it all fell down towards the end and we had to rearrange. I'm saying we because I'm an Arsenal fan. So we had to rearrange everything and use Mourinho as a centre forward. It did work a bit because he's good on the ball. But if there's a natural centre forward with the type of football that Arsenal play, it's a big difference and more goals are scored. So I'm glad this move has come now at this time because it's about time Arteta wins a trophy, actually, because it's 3 seasons now and everything else around him has been moving and progressing, but Arteta is yet to prove himself.
In midfield, the London outfit have added Martin Zubimendi from Real Sociedad to provide steel and composure. Nige, I know you were raving after you saw him in that Gunners outfit.
Yeah, look, Zubimendi is a top player, top number 6. I think when you come in to replace Thomas Partey, you have to be one of the world's best, and he looks very similar in that mold, doesn't give the ball away very easily. Also coaches on the field, players around him, and sets the tempo really well. I think a couple of years ago when Rodri went off in that Euros final and Zubimendi replaced him, they didn't miss a beat. That's how good he is. And I think Arsenal really hit the jackpot here with a top number 6.
Yeah. Do you think this transfer window makes them title contenders? Because, you know, Mark mentioned 3 consecutive second place finishes in the league.
Yeah, it looks like the board have really backed him now. Over 200 mil spent. Does look like they might be a little shy down the left in terms of creativity. They were chasing Eze. Can they get another attacking outlet? Because if you look at the other teams pushing for the Premier League title in Liverpool and City, they have a bit more world beaters, players who can take the game away from you in an instant. And when I look at this Arsenal side, for me currently it's just Saka who can do it. Can Gyökeres adapt and do it quickly? We'll have to see. But yeah, we just need that kind of bit of world-class talent to get us over the line.
Let's actually elaborate on that point, because I also think that's probably the weakest link in the Arsenal attack going forward. Gabriel Martinelli, a very good player. Let's just give him his flowers as well. But is he going to win you the Premier League title? We know Leandro Trossard has also come on and been a clutch sub for Arsenal in recent years.
Yeah, look, 2 top players, but can they reliably beat their man 1v1? I think that's a big part of the way Arsenal play as well. The wingers keep on the touchline. And we've seen Martinelli come back, chop change. He's not naturally left-footed. The output has suffered down that left. So can they get an upgrade? Can Noni Madueke come in and do the business for them? I think it's a big gamble, 50 million on him. Can he do the business? Let's see now.
Yeah. Following Man United, Arsenal play Leeds, Liverpool, Forest, Manchester City and Newcastle. Mark, I can't help but think if Arteta can survive this early storm, he'll definitely lay the groundwork for a title charge.
I think it's possible, not only because I'm saying it as a fan, but just generally speaking, I think it's possible because we mustn't forget that Arsenal have the best defense in the league, or had the best defense in the league last season, and nothing's changed. And we've added another special talent. Well, it looks like he's gonna succeed at Arsenal. Mosquera from Valencia, he looks a good talent. He looks like there's a lot of promise in him. He's good on the ball. He's a strong tackler. So any replacements there should be easy. Ben White is there. Calafiori will be back. So they're not short in any way in the back. They can play on the ball. So it's possible with the new attack as well. So it's exciting times. If they make it through, I think the groundwork will be set, like you mentioned, and going forward, it will be good for the season.
Yeah. All eyes are going to be on the Theatre of Dreams come Sunday evening. Your prediction, Arsenal versus Manchester United?
Just standing as a neutral, yeah. Old Trafford's no easy place to go, especially now with them having a good pre-season, bringing in new players. It's not going to be the same United of last season, and we're not taking anything for granted, but I do give Arsenal the win. We'll win by one goal, a 2-1 win.
Yeah, I agree with Marky. I think in the past three seasons, Arsenal are unbeaten at Old Trafford, gone there, done the business really well. And I think, yes, like Marky said, Trafford will be fired up with these new signings, first game of the season. But I think Arsenal just go there and edge it, especially with the new signings that they've got. Defensively, they sound, and I think they just get over the line.
I love to hear it. Manchester United versus Arsenal, both endless backing a win for the Gunners. Moving along, Arne Slot has made an immediate impact at Liverpool, guiding the Reds to their 20th league title in his debut season. This weekend, the Reds are up against Bournemouth outfit.
Yeah, Slot did a tremendous job last season winning the league in his first season. Can he back it up? It looks like they've backed him really well in the recruitment business. Some big name players there arriving at Anfield. And yeah, I think they get over the line against the Bournemouth team, who have sold a lot of their players.
Yeah, I can't help but agree with you. I mean, the amount of money that Forest Sports Group, that Fenway Sports Group rather, has splashed on this Liverpool team. I'm lost for words, to be honest, because it's not like Liverpool to go out and buy marquee signings. Normally, they go for a player that, or a profile rather, that they can work on and then sell on for a bigger payday later on. Mark, do you agree with this new crop of talent that has come through the door in Merseyside?
Not definitely. I think there's no question about it. The quality that they've recruited, Ekitike looks a real deal. Verts, we know, is a superstar already at his young age. Frimpong, we might get heavy backlash for this, but Frimpong looks 10 times a player. Arnold is. He's quick. He's good on the ball. He can play as a right wing. He can tackle. He's complete. I know Arnold is quality on the ball, but there's been many questions on his defensive side. So bringing Frimpong in has covered that right back position. They've covered left back for many years to come now, with Kirky is coming in, who's hit the scene so good, and is going to be playing his previous team. So they've covered their verts for creativity. There's no question what he can do. Szoboszlai is getting better. They still have McAllister. They've got Gravenberch, who's getting better. They still got the highest goal scorer, Salah. They've got Gakpo. So we can sit here all day talking about Liverpool. So
I'm sure the likes of Salah and Gakpo are licking their lips at this Bournemouth backline. We know that they've let practically all of the four or five players go. The likes of Kepa going to Arsenal, Huijsen to Real Madrid, Zabiani to PSG. I mean, if you're in Andoni Iraola right now, what are you thinking?
I have to give credit to Iraola. He's a top coach. He gets the best out of his players, regardless of whoever he has there. As you saw with Kluivert, when he landed, he wasn't as good as he was after Areola was coached him throughout the season, and he just progressed well. So I know that he will come up with a good plan for the team to succeed the season. But losing your best players, you know, that damages the progression. And after Liverpool losing the Community Shield, I know they slots will be hammering his players to have a quick turnaround. And unfortunately, it's going to be against Bournemouth.
Yeah, I'm glad you actually touched on that defeat to Crystal Palace. Nige, we know Iraola to be a bit of a tactical mastermind. Surely he's watched the game tape. What is he going to tell his Bournemouth attackers this weekend?
Yeah, I think very much similar to the way Palace approached the game. Frustrated Liverpool, hit them on the counter. And I think that's what you got to do against a star-studded Liverpool team. We know Iraola is a top tactician. He did lose some of his best players. But yeah, hopefully they can nullify Liverpool this coming weekend on their first game.
It's not going to claim maximum points this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt for me. I think they start the season with the 3 points and get the campaign running.
I have to agree with Nigel there. I think it won't be straightforward. They will put up a fight, but I think the type of players and the firepower Liverpool have, it will be a victory for them.
All right. Next up, Aston Villa thrilled supporters with a memorable Champions League quarterfinal run last season. This weekend, they're up against another Champions League outfit in Newcastle United, who have been marred by a transfer saga.
Yeah, look, two teams who were fighting it out last season. Unai Emery is a top coach. It's going to be a great game as well. They did well in the Champions League last season, just missed out on a Champions League spot for this season. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching Aston Villa against this Newcastle team. It's going to be fire.
Let's have it then. Is Isak going to stay or is he going to go?
It doesn't look good from the outside currently. I think they should have sold him a couple of weeks ago, like departed more amicably. He's a top player. And get the money in, spend it on holes in the squad that you need addressing, because Eddie Howe is a top manager and you've seen it last season. So I think it's a bit of strange business and they would want to resolve it as soon as possible.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. We know he's a world-class striker, and I think all the top clubs in the top five European leagues would want his signature. But the way they're going about this is not the right way, especially because the impact it can have on Eddie Howe's team going into the season. They would have put all their hopes on him taking them forward again this season. But unfortunately, he wants a change in scene. He wants to compete at a higher level, not taking anything away from Newcastle, but anybody would want to go to Liverpool right now at this moment because they are the best in England. With the way they're playing, it will suit him perfectly because he's a world-class striker. And the price tag they put on him, okay, we can't say it's fair, and it's not as well because of what's happening now with him. They can't get him out. So like Nigel said, lowering the price, get him out, get people in to close gaps in your team and continue because it's going to cause a lot of trouble in Eddie Howe's setup.
Yeah. If you take Alexander Isak out of this Newcastle team, I definitely think that they're going to be susceptible to a bottom half finish. You look at the likes of Anthony Gordon, Anthony Elanga and William Osula as the other attackers in a team. Do you think that's going to be enough to compete in the likes of the Champions League, the FA Cup and the Premier League?
I don't think they have enough there. Those are good players. I don't think they would fall way down the pecking order because Eddie Howe is a top manager and also he gets the best out of his players as well. He's a quality manager. He knows how to manage his players and go into games and he's flexible with his formations and his tactics. So he will get wins. In saying that, he's definitely going to need more players if he wants to chase for a Champions League spot. And like we said, if he has to let Isak go, his price, then let him go for 120. Lower the price, let him go, bring in two or three quality players, work on them, and then we see from there. Because holding on to Isak, he's taking somebody's spot. It's going to cause trouble in the camp. Eddie Howe's not going to get the best out of his players because it won't only affect him, it's going to affect everything and exactly what they're doing. So they really need to see the strategy and find a way out of this problem.
Yeah, I think momentum lies with a home team in Aston Villa this weekend. Are they claiming maximum points?
I have to agree. Yeah, I have to give the win to Aston Villa. We know what Unai Emery does with his team and how good he is. So I'm giving the win to Aston Villa.
Yeah, me too. I think at home at Villa Park, they've been extremely strong. And with what's going on in the Newcastle camp, you think that Villa turn them over.
All right. Next fixture sees Brighton hosting Fulham at the Amex. Now, we know Brighton are a team that consistently punches above their weight, combining fluid football, shrewd recruitment and a tactical bonus. Now, we know last season they had the Premier League's youngest ever permanent manager, who guided them to an impressive 8th place finish.
Yeah, Fabian Hertzler did a great job last season. I think he had his team playing really good football with a seasoned striker in Danny Welbeck leading the line. Also having a really great season for himself after shaking off some fitness issues. Yeah, punching above their weight. You know what you're going to get with Brighton. Exciting to watch. So yeah, hopefully there's much of the same.
Yeah, no. Probably we know what Brighton will deliver, but I think this will be an even playing field for both teams. Yeah, because Brighton have lost a lot of their key players. There's not been much talk around Fulham as well. So unpredictable fixture this, but good for both teams just to test themselves and go into the season with a positive result.
I agree with you 100%. I'm sure both of them will fancy a victory and think that they're better than one another. I mean, Fulham coming in 11th place last season, Brighton in 8th. You wonder if both of them will just come out all guns blazing.
Oh, definitely. They both have a good go at each other. I think it will come down to fine margins and getting a winner. And it will be a tactical battle between the two. Hertzler knows he'll be all-out attack. Marco Silva more. We could say calculated. He knows when to attack. He knows how to set up his team. But Silva will have the more understanding of the league, the more experience coming in. So good, exciting game for neutral. So
let's wait and see.
I think it will be a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, I agree. I think both teams to score is really on the cards. Two exciting teams to watch.
All right, can't wait for that one. Next up, we've got newly promoted Sunderland hosting West Ham United. Now, we know West Ham were in all sorts of trouble last season, finishing in 14th place.
Yeah, you thought Graham Potter would turn it around when he arrived. It wasn't the case. They struggled even more towards the end of the season. Really sad to see when you consider the type of players in that West Ham squad. And yeah, it's going to be difficult against a Sunderland team who have recruited really well.
What have you made about their signings? Because we've seen this movie before. A club comes in to the Premier League, adds 10, 20 players to their squad, and they're certainly no longer a central core of established first-team players.
Yeah, look, it is always a catch-22 when you bring in a lot of players into your squad to make a difference. From the outside, it looks like they sign quality. And Dingra and Xhaka, two top players, played in the Premier League. You know what you're going to get from them. Xhaka is experienced. And Dingra is a top player, a youngster, does the hard running and is very technically gifted as well. So, look, in my opinion, I think they could hit the ground running for the Sunderland team and also make the Premier League even more competitive.
Yeah, I do wonder if they are going to claim maximum points this weekend. Mark, West Ham not having a season to remember last year?
Yeah, definitely a bad season, especially after coming off that Europa win and whatever was going on. That was a clear foundation to build on, but it didn't happen. Graham Potter came in, supposed to have fixed the issue, but also faced his own problems coming in, but he's got a preseason under his belt. He's going to have time to work with his players. But I think losing Kudus was a major blow for him. I think that's a key player in that West Ham team. But they still have Bowen. Paqueta can play with freedom now after coming off his gambling case. So he will be excited to return to his full form. Sunderland, happy to have the Black Cats back into the league. It's going to be an exciting game, just like the Brighton and Fulham. I think it could be an even playing field for both teams and also exciting to see who wants it more.
Yeah, it sounds like Mark's calling a draw. Are you agreeing with that, Nudge?
I expect a really tight game, but I think at Stadium of Light, first game of the season, this might be a scary one for West Ham, and I think could be a win on the cards here for Sunderland.
Wow, brave call there indeed. Next up, we've got London outfit Tottenham Hotspur opening Burnley. Now in a thrilling UEFA Super Cup showdown, Paris Saint-Germain staged a dramatic comeback from 2-0 down to draw 2-2 with Tottenham, eventually going on to defeat Thomas Frank's men. No doubt fireworks are expected at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Yeah, look, they're unlucky to lose it in the manner that they did, having winning for like 85 minutes. But honestly, I back Thomas Frank to do a great job this season. He's a top coach. He has some good players to work with as well. I think it's going to be exciting first game back in the Premier League against Burnley. And I back Thomas Frank.
Yeah. Mark, what are you expecting from Spurs this season? Because we know last year, Ange delivered the first piece of silverware in however long.
I'm excited about this Spurs team because they have one of my favorite managers there now. Thomas Frank, I think, is exceptional at what he does and how he gets the best out of his players. We saw from last night's game, Tottenham, they do look a bit different. I like that Frank sticks to his principles and the way he wants to play his game because he's brought it over from Brentford into this Tottenham squad. And what better players, it looks so much better too. So I'm trusting Thomas Frank with this Tottenham team, and I've seen the hierarchy has backed him as well, bringing in such quality players. And
I'm glad you mentioned that word quality because they've opted for the likes of Mohamed Kudus, Wilson Odobert a couple of seasons ago, Brendan Johnson as well,
and Nathan Tell, I think from Bayern Munich as well. So they've backed him well. He's got good players. He's inherited a good team. And I think with his coaching style and playing style that he brings, I think he's going to have huge success there. But just touching on last night's defeat, the way they lost there, it was so unfortunate. I was looking at the work that both teams did. I think Thomas Frank's team was 5 kilometers more than what PSG. So the work rate that has picked up already on that Tottenham team, you can see they are buying into his philosophy. They're trusting in what he's done, and he's almost landed a trophy. It's so unfortunate that penalties is a gamble. It goes either way on the night. So, Thomas Frank, I think Tottenham are going to do good things this season, especially coming out way down in 17th or 16th last season.
They're going to kick things off with the 3 points this weekend against Burnley?
No disrespect to Burnley, but I think they definitely get the win, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the bankers of the weekend here for Spurs under Thomas Frank. Spurs to win.
All right. Next up, we've got Premier League winners Manchester City up against Wolves. Now, we know last season's third place finish for City marked their first campaign without silverware since the 2016-17 season.
Kind of crazy. Give them kudos to the longevity of success. 8-9 years constantly winning. Same with Pep. First trophyless season last season. So they're definitely going to come back with a vengeance. Third is not good enough for this team. And they'll be plotting that title charge this season, no doubt.
Yeah. Mark, I know City got their business done very early in the window. The likes of Tijani Reyners, Ryan Cherki coming through the door.
That just tells you the intent that Pep Guardiola brings to the business early, work on his players. You see the videos that are going around, the way he connects with his players, how he interacts and wants them to be at training. You play the way you train, and that's how he is. So bringing in the type of players that he has, he's brought in Reinders, who is top-class midfielder, Ryan Cherki, creativity. Haaland will get better this season after a rough season last year. Savinho, if he stays, Foden will return again. So that team is equipped and have all the firepower they need to come back strong this season, and I believe they do.
All right. Well, standing in his wake is Vito Pereira. Now, we know the Wolverhampton Wanderers manager came in and did a masterclass, saving them from relegation, almost putting them into the top half.
Yeah, a very good coach. Did a very good job at Wolves coming in, especially with the way they were going towards the end of last season. Exciting coach, good gameplay, but with City coming in the season, with the type of players they've brought in, I think City will have too much for him on the first day.
Yeah, I have to agree. Vitor Pereira did an excellent job last season. It's going to come too early for them this game. I think City start the campaign with 3 points here.
All right. That concludes Saturday's fixtures. Kicking things off on Sunday is Chelsea up against Crystal Palace. Now, we know Palace historical FA Cup triumph was sealed by a tense 1-0 victory over Man City at Wembley. Follow that up just a few weeks later, they had the Community Shield against Liverpool. Massive clubs to win trophies against.
Yeah, look, Oliver Glasner's got them cooking. I think since he came in, they suffered a bit of dip in form last season, but managed to win their first trophy after so long. Losing key players at the same time, Olise. It looks like Eze might be out the door. But they still managed to play some very attacking football with Mateta, a top joy to watch. And I think it's going to be a potential banana skin for Chelsea this weekend.
Yeah. You know, just looking at Oliver Glasner's tenure with Palace, he came in under some mysterious circumstances with Roy Hodgson mysteriously being ill, steadied the ship, played some really attacking football. Then at the start of last season, his first full season at the club, they were quite shaky before turning it around. Back-to-back trophies now, Mark. I mean, make it make sense.
Yeah, that's two trophies in 3 months for Glasner. That's the excitement you get for bringing in an unknown coach. He gets to work with his players and do it his way. So, exciting times for Glasner and Palace. I must point out one of my favorite midfielders in the season for Palace would be Adam Wharton. I think he's an English born but Spanish blood. I think how he plays is it's like he was brought up in Barcelona. The way he plays his football, he's so good. And I hope whoever is listening goes out and watches this boy, because I think he's exceptional, and he's gonna blow up this season for sure.
I'm glad you singled him out, but then you add the likes of Eberechi Eze, Ismail Assar, John Philippe Mateta. I mean, could Palace possibly launch a bid for a top six?
Those are game changers that you just mentioned. And like you said, they've beaten Liverpool to a trophy. They've saw off City for a trophy. And I know Chelsea are coming with a good team, coming with World Club Cup winners. So it's not going to be easy, but Glasner has the winning formula. He knows his tactical approach. And it's not going to be easy goings for Chelsea in this one, I believe.
It sounds like Mark is favouring Palace on the double chance at Stamford Bridge. Your thoughts, Nudge?
Yeah, I think very good choice there. I think I could back that up, definitely. I think Chelsea have recruited really well. But it's going to be a difficult game against a top Palace team. So I think Palace on the double chance, maybe both teams to score as well.
All right. Next up, we've got Nottingham Forest welcoming Brentford. Now, we know Nuno has just penned down a long-term deal, committing his future till at least 2028. Do you think he's the right man for this Forest project?
Yeah, I think so. He's done excellently last season, just fading out towards the end of the season, not getting Champions League, but in my opinion, pushed above his weight. Top manager, gets the best out of his players, look, that's not slate them, an average Forest squad to be pushing above their weight for so long. You really have to be a good coach. And great that they tied him down.
Yeah. Mark, it sounds like phase one is complete. If you're the Nottingham Forest owner, at least, I mean, you saw Nuno just penned his deal with the club. Morgan Gibbs-White penned his deal with the club. They've let Ilanga go, so it's not like they're holding players down. Your thoughts so far?
Good business, stability, and tying down the coaches is a very clever move as well. So that allows him to go out and do his thing with freedom. So very good business from their side. And I think can they repeat from last season? I think it'll be tough now, because teams around him have improved, especially the bigger teams. So coming into the season, they really have to work hard to try and do that.
Well, Brentford are in a similar position because Thomas Frank's departure from the Bees ends a transformative six-year tenure that saw them rise from the Championship to stable Premier League outfits.
I feel for Brentford this season, to be honest. They've lost a world-class coach. They've lost Mbeumo. Norgaard's gone to Arsenal. Wissa might be out the door. They're only left with Mikael Damsgaard. So
we know he can provide assists, but if there's no striker, who's he going to play the ball to?
Exactly. They have that Kevin Schade, who's not a bad player as well. So it's unfortunate what's happened to Brentford at this time, because they've been a very good club in the Premier League. They are known to compete with the bigger teams, get results where they can, but it's just unfortunate the way things have unfolded this time.
All right. Well, filling the void left by Frank's exit, as well as the players that Mark has mentioned, will be no easy task. But if there's any club that can do it, it is Brentford. I mean, you look at the likes of Ivan Toney. They were able to replace his goals. In fact, I think both scorers finished in the top 20.
Yeah, excellent point, Desh. I think Brentford have shown it consistently to be a well-run club, to plan for the future. And look, from the outside, it looks like they've cut coach, captain. It looks like they're really
themselves to bare minimum.
Hanging by a thread, definitely. And look, somehow it seems to me like I think that they'll still be fine. They'll still manage to stay in the Premier League, push above their weight like they always do. Look, in my opinion, Frank will be the biggest miss. There's no replacing that guy. That's how good he is. Can they hit the ground running? I know that they're a well-run club, and I think they'll be just fine.
All right. This weekend, they're away to Nottingham Forest. Are they going to come out back with anything?
A tough game. Forest ground is really tough to go to. Difficult to call as well. One, I would go both teams to score. Stay away from the result.
I'm going with the Forest one. The new coach now at Brentford has no experience in the Premier League. I think no experience at all taking on such a big role. So it's going to be big shoes to fill. A tough first fixture to go through, especially having no experience at all. So I'm giving Forest a one, yeah.
All right. Our final fixture of the weekend sees Leeds United hosting high-flying Everton. Now, before you guys ask me who's going to win this game, I just want to say, let's go, boys.
Everton, yeah, I know you're going Everton's way. David Moyes, we know over the years and years that he's been in the Premier League, what he delivers, tactical, solid, he grind out results. So with him bringing in Jack Grealish, I think that's a huge, huge bonus for the club and for him as well. They have Ndiaye there. They do have some quality players in their roster. So it's
exciting.
You know,
those two players
times.
That you mentioned are not the only ones that I'm excited to see. The main man is Tierno Barry. Now, I've been watching the Villarreal forward for a large part of last season. In fact, he was only at the Yellow Submarine for one season, and it was enough to convince the Everton hierarchy and myself that he should be the one to lead the line.
Yeah, it looks like he's a really potent striker, young striker. Coming into a new league will be challenging, but he does look like he can fit the bill off these kind of David Moyes strikers who can lead the line and add goals as well. He's got some creativity behind him as well, so it'll be really exciting to see.
All right. Leeds United haven't really made that many moves in the Premier League this far.
Yeah, look, Daniel Farke has come in. It doesn't look like they've been backing him much in the transfer window. I think he's going to keep much of the core squad and head into the league. Is it a gamble? Do they have enough quality to stay in the league with that? It'll be exciting to see.
I have to agree with Nigel. You cannot come into the Premier League and not make any moves. I think that will come back and bite you so hard that you might even lose your job. So he has to be very careful at what he does. He has to get as many positive results he can from games he can win. So very tricky how he's coming into the season. Will he do moves? I hope so, to save himself and the team. But in this fixture, it's going to be a tough start.
Yeah, for me as well. I think Everton have recruited really well. They've got an experienced manager in David Moyes. They will even want to do better than last season. I think they get the win here on the first day of the season.
Ladies and gentlemen, football fans, that brings us to the end of this weekend's preview. As always, it's been a phenomenal time discussing all things Premier League related with you, Nigel and Mark. Until we meet again, cheers.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a good one.
Short chance. Cheers.